All right, as they're leaving, go ahead and take your Bibles and turn to Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. I just recently read through this book. I think it's last verse of this month or something. And one of the things that hit me, I was sleeping one night, trying to sleep, and rolling around my bed. And this thought about the light came to me. And so as I started thinking about that, it ended up being today's sermon. So. But I just want to look at that today. You know, the title of the message is, Where God Is, There Is Light. Where God Is, There Is Light. And so if you find your place in Genesis chapter 1, I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to read the first five verses here this morning. And we're going to look at what the Bible says about light this morning. Genesis chapter 1, the first five verses when you find it. All right, you follow along as I read. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for Your word this morning as we look at this topic about the light. I pray You continue to guide and direct in our lives. I thank You for those here today, and I pray You just watch over those that were not able to make it, that You'd guide and direct in their lives, and help us all to look to You and trust You today. Help us to be that light that You've called us all to be. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So we're going to look at the topic of light. Light is a central theme in the Bible when you look at it because it represents God. It represents Jesus Christ. It represents the Word of God. It represents the gospel. It represents the believer. Light also is the Christian's focus, is being in the light. What does light do? It illuminates and it reveals, whereas darkness hides and disguises. And the first mention of light is right here in the very beginning of the book of the Bible in Genesis chapter 1, that God created light, the very first thing. Well, not only did He create it, but He is the light, and we'll see more of that as we go through this. And so it's God Himself. In the first place it was mentioned, Genesis 1:3, and God said, Let there be light, and there was light. The last mention, it's interesting when you look at these things, the last mention of the word light is in Revelation 22:5. It says, And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Think about that. No darkness whatsoever. And so this morning, I've titled this message, Where God Is, There Is Light. Where God is, there is light. So right off in our passage, we see that God created the light. He introduced the light. He separated from the darkness in Genesis 1, 3 through 5. And God said, Let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Light was introduced into creation when God spoke it into existence. But the very presence of God being there was light. Because God is light. In John, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, John writes, This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. No darkness at all. None. Nada. Not a little bit. Not a drop. It's all light. Darkness was first introduced in creation. We saw that in the first two verses. In the beginning, God created the heaven, the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Darkness is the absence of light. It is the antithesis of light, and antithesis of light, thesis of light. In other words, it's the opposite. And since the fall, men have loved darkness. If you have your Bibles open to Genesis, go to Genesis chapter 6. We see what takes place after the fall, after the sin in the garden, after Adam chose to disobey God. What comes about, look at verse 5. It says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I had made them." It's not God that changed his mind. He already made up his mind. That which is righteous, he was going to be with. That which was not, was not. He just spoke these words and said that they're doing exactly what I told them not to do. And why was that? Because they loved darkness. These folks loved the darkness and not the light. Turn to John, if you would, chapter 3. John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, we see this again reiterated. John pens these words. These are words that the Lord has given to us. But look at John chapter 3, verse 19, and hold your place there. We'll look at a couple other verses in a minute there. But in John chapter 3, verse 19, listen to what it says. "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." The condemnation is there's light, but men loved darkness more than the light because of the evil, or their deeds were evil. Verse 20, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth the truth cometh to the light, but his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." You know, it is true that people do love darkness, people who hate the light. I have evidence. I don't want to say much about that, but when I was younger, we used to get together. This is probably when I was, 13 or 14. Of course, my mom, she worked late at night. Anyway, at that time in my life, I had no direction. And so I would get out and run the streets probably for 6 or 7 hours from like midnight to 4 or 5 in the morning. And during that time, I never thought of us as a gang, but as I was thinking about this, we really were a gang. Not a gang that would go fight anybody, but we were a gang that we did things that we shouldn't have done. We did some evil things. Why did we do that? We would never do this in the daytime. And I hate to even tell it myself, but again, I think I've shared this before. I remember they were building a new development, and of course, that's where we roamed the streets and walked, and there was probably about 15 of us. I was kind of like the leader of that gang because most of them were a year or so below me. But anyway, we went down to one of the houses and they had all the sod stacked up. They had it all stacked up in the front yard and they were going to lay that. And they did it in squares. This is in Texas, Austin, Texas, where I lived at that time. And they had those squares all stacked up and the next day or the week or whatever, they were going to lay those down and put them in the yard. Well, that one night we were out there, we happened to walk by and we were all together joking and having a big time. And we saw those and thought, boy, I wonder what those things do. I wonder if they'll fly like a frisbee. They do fly like a frisbee, by the way. And we threw some of those. And then we threw them on the house. So we started putting them on the housetop. I'm telling you, I'm a wicked, vile sinner. And there's no doubt about it. I've done terrible things in my life. And that was one of them. But we would have never have done that in the daylight. We would have never went down there at noon and went down there and said, hey guys, come on, let's go together and throw these on the roof. We wouldn't have done that. But the cloak of darkness, evil prevails. It's true today. True today. People like darkness so they can be hid, so it's not manifested or declared. People can't see what they're doing. Just like the Bible tells us. And Proverbs 4:19 says, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. This is why so many people reject the Lord today, because they love darkness. In John chapter 3, verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. The Son is light. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. They love darkness. You know, Satan is an instrument in this whole thing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not." Why? Because Satan loves darkness. Satan has blinded folks to the light. And the light is so important because that makes a difference in a person's life. It changes them forever. He presents himself as the God of this world. He is the great deceiver. Revelation 12:9. "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." He was here, and he is here today. He's ruling and reigning on this earth today. You look at this world and you can see it. It's prevalent. And we, in our lifetime, have seen our country change so much. Now, America has always had problems. Go look at the 20s, the roaring 20s. I mean, the sin that went on back then was wicked. Just like the 40s and the 50s and the times before. Why? Because men love darkness. But yet, nonetheless, America was somewhat moral because there was a foundation. There was a greater number of people who believed in the Bible and believed in the God in heaven. There was the light that was shining out. And so people that hindered them or stopped them from doing much of the evil that we see done today, and it's just right out there in the front. I'm afraid to go look at a news article or look at Yahoo or those places. Why? Because the articles in there are constant. So-and-so is taking pictures of themselves naked. This and that. I'm thinking, really? Why is that? Because the darkness is prevailing on this earth today. Because the God of this world. Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into the angel or an angel of light." He has confused people. He has blinded people. He has taken and twisted everything. What is good is bad, and what is bad is good. And he's leading his followers into darkness. Paul, when he got saved, and he was sharing his testimony. In Acts chapter 9, we'll look at that in just a few moments. But he didn't say this there, but he said it later when he was talking to King Agrippa. He was giving his testimony, told him what the Lord called him to do. He said, "To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light." Now get this. "From the power of Satan unto God." He is the orchestrator of darkness. The power of Satan. And he's roaming the earth and he's having his way and his will. And it's not a whole lot of work for him. Because men love darkness more than they love light. In 1 John 3:8, John pins these words. He said, "He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For his purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil." You know, sometimes we get this backwards. I know I have many times. The first sin was committed in the garden. No, it was committed in heaven. When Lucifer said, "I will be like the Most High God." That's when the first sin was committed. It was committed by an angel and not by man. But when man sinned, it cast all of us into sin. And the devil, Lucifer, is the angel, or being transformed into the angel of light. But I want you to know this morning, and John, you have your Bible open there. Turn to John chapter 1, that Jesus Christ is the light. He is the true light. So many people struggle with the concept that there's only one way. Only one way, just as Jesus told us, "I am the way, the truth, and life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me." They say, "Well, that's awful arrogant of you to think that. That's awful prideful of you to think that you know the only way and nobody else does." No, it's not me that knows the only way. It's God who made the only way. I just happen to agree with what he says. But here we see in our John chapter 1, going along with Genesis chapter 1, we see it right off as John begins this passage. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He leaves no doubt on who or what the Word is. Even when He spoke this place into existence, the very words from His mouth, which I believe speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, it says, "The same was in the beginning with God." Genesis chapter 1. "All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." So that darkness didn't understand that, didn't comprehend it, didn't really know what was going on. In fact, where there is light, the darkness is dispelled or gone. I wish I'd preach this message on a Wednesday night. We could turn all the lights out, and we did this one time years ago where we had everybody have a candle, and we did it in a circle on a Wednesday night. We turned the lights out. Might have been a Sunday night, I don't know. Turned the lights out, and we went through, and we saw the brightness of the candles in the room. And then everybody started blowing their candles out. Do you remember that? We blew them out. And things got dimmer and dimmer and dimmer until we had one candle. Yet you could still see vaguely, but it was a lot dimmer than what it was when our lights begin to be snuffed out. And that's what happens in this world when Christians' lights begin to be snuffed out. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 12, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." In John 9, 4 through 5, "I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work as long as I am in the world. I am the light of the world." In John chapter 12, verse 35, "Yet a little while is the light with you," Jesus is speaking. "Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light." That's what we want to be, is the children of light. Look here in verse 9 of 1 John. He says, "That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." Talking about Jesus. "He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." And He tells us, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Salvation only comes by way of Jesus Christ. There's nothing I can do to be saved. It's not my will that saves me. It's only by putting my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for my sins. For He is that true light. Verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus came for one purpose: to illuminate men. To give them the light that He and He alone has. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 9 for a second. In Acts chapter 9, we see the illumination of Paul. We see what God has done through Jesus Christ in his life. Remember, Paul is that one who's out persecuting Christians. Why did he persecute Christians? Because he thought they were blaspheming the name of God. They were doing things that God wasn't pleased with in his mind. And so what did he do? He went and sought letters so he could go get those folks and bring them to justice. The Jewish law. Whether it meant killing them or just getting them there to the prison, that's what he was about. That's what he was on. That was his mission. His mission was to serve God. And he did it with all his heart, with all his mind, with all his soul. Oops. In verse 1 of chapter 9 says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. You know, I'm slow, and I didn't even think about this until I started thinking about this message, really. Maybe I did and I forgot it. You know how that works sometimes. But that light that shone, what was that? Was God holding a flashlight and shining it down on Paul? I believe that's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Because he is the light. That just the presence of the Lord in the sight of Paul is this bright light. So much so, I believe it blinded him. It says, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus. It's clear here, this light is Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. He's saying, you're trying to serve God, but you're not doing it the right way. You got it all backwards. You don't understand, but I am the light. It is me. He's talking about Jesus. And at that point, Paul understands. It says, the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what? Oops, excuse me. And trembling, and he trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That day, the light of the Lord Jesus Christ lighted up Paul, illuminated Paul for the first time, and it changed his life forever. He became the light. So how's that possible? We'll see. It's what happens to every Christian who puts their faith and trust in Christ. But see, that wasn't the rest of his testimony. He went on and he told him he'd tell him what to do later. But when he was sharing his testimony to King Agrippa, I already shared this, but we'll do it again. It says in Acts 26:18, this is what God told him to do. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. That's what Jesus told him to do. That was what he was called to do that day on the road to Damascus, was to be the light, to share the light, to reveal the light. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 4:4-6, or penned these words, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. The light is the glorious gospel of Christ. We have that today. Who is in the image of God should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commandeth the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The light, who is God, God is light. Jesus is the true light. The gospel, or the glorious gospel, is the light. And it shined in the hearts of anybody that puts their faith and trust in Jesus. And we have the light. Today I have the light. Today you have the light. You hold it in your hand. This is the light. It shines bright. Men have tried to destroy this. Men have killed people for this. And they will again. But this is the light. The light is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the good news. The good news that Jesus died. Turn back to John for just a second. In John chapter 3, I meant to hold a place there. But in John chapter 3, right before those verses that we looked at, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, and he comes down to verse 15 in John chapter 3. And here he just gives the passage before talking about the darkness. He said that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. See, God sent Jesus as the light into the world to do what? Dispel darkness. And when we look at the light and see the light, and we accept that light, it can transform our lives. In verse 18 he says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. Amen? He says, but he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So it's the gospel that we're given. The light itself separates us as well. Remember in Genesis chapter 1, what did the light do? He created light, and then he called the light day and the night, or the darkness night, and he separated those two. That's what Jesus Christ does in a person's life. He separates the light from darkness. Black and white, if you will, sometimes we think. And yes, that's what he has done in our lives in 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We have something special. Something has changed us. We're no longer in the dark. We have the light. We have the opportunity to dispel the darkness because we have the true light, which is Jesus Christ, which is the Word of God. Paul in Ephesians 5, that's why we read that today, he urges Christians, he says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. And he says, walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. I have the light. So he's encouraging me and says, you have the light. Now walk as a child of light. Share that light. Illuminate the darkness so it will dispel and go away. Share the light so it will change people's lives. In Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus was speaking on the Sermon on the Mount, he said these words, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. If we are looking and focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? He said, full of darkness. You know, the church, we're to be dynamic, we're to be radiant, we're to be witnesses to the world of the light of Christ. That's why we're here, is we're to be the beacon in the community of Stratton, Maine and thereabouts. God's given us that privilege. It is a privilege to serve a holy God. It's a privilege to be able to read God's words. It's a privilege to be able to serve Him. I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like it's a burden. I feel like it's so hard. Why? Because I allow darkness into my life. And when I allow darkness into my life, the light, I'm quenching the spirit, and no longer is the light bright. And because of that, this isn't what it should be to me. The Christian life isn't what it ought to be to me. It's because Satan, the god of this world, tries to blind us to the very things of God. He does it. Turn your TV on. You're constantly bombarded with Satan's lies, his deception, his trickery. Why? First off, he wants to rob you of your time. And then he wants to fill your head with all the things the world has to offer. He doesn't talk about, do you see commercials on TV? He says, heaven is a wonderful place. Do you see commercials on TV which says, go look in Revelation 20 in your Bible and let's read through there. Let's see what it's like in verse 21 or chapter 21 and 22 about heaven, the golden streets, the tree of life. Let's go see those things. Let's see what God has to offer. What about all those rewards the Bible talks about? Every commercial I see, it says all those rewards are there, doesn't it? No. Darkness prevails. You need this. You want that. You go get that. And we take our focus off this. And all of a sudden our eye is not single anymore. But it becomes full of darkness. In Galatians chapter 5, Paul wrote, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. How much sin does it take to be a sinner? How much sin does it take to dispel the light? Or remove the light. The Bible says it's just one. And we as Christians, our desire is to seek God, find out what it is, root it out, let the light shine on it, so it can be dispelled and gotten rid of. That's our goal and our desire as we serve the Lord. Jesus gave us this very power to be the light in this very dark world. In John chapter 12, verse 36, "While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light." In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 6, Jesus said these words on the Sermon on the Mount. He says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." As we have the opportunity to be the light, we get to draw people to this. We get to draw people to Jesus. Now, it's not my responsibility to save anybody. My responsibility is to walk in the light. It's the Lord's responsibility to save them, because He's the only one that can. But if they don't see the light because I'm not walking in the light and because the light is dim, how are they going to be drawn to those things that the Lord would want us to draw people to? We are the messengers. You know, I dare say, I don't know about today, but when I was younger, I would dare say, probably upward in the 90% or 80% household had a Bible. I didn't say they read it. They probably had a Bible. Maybe it was grandma's Bible or somebody, but they had one. Today, I wonder how many people in this world actually have a Bible anymore. I've talked to people who said they've never read it. And their excuse is, God is not real. There is no God. That's where our society is today. Why did that happen? Why is that happening? Because the light has become dim. And it will continue to become dim unless we will walk in the light as children of light. You know, lights have different intensities and brightnesses. True of the stars, it's true with us, it's true with me. The brighter our light, the farther it will reach, the more it will shine. And people will be drawn to it. Now, they may not accept the Lord, but they will see that you're different because, believe it or not, light and darkness, night and day, are different. They're not the same. I'm afraid today, though, we want to entertain the darkness. And so we begin to look like the darkness. Even though we're supposed to be children of light, it happens. It's happened in my life. It'll happen in every one of our lives if we're not careful. Because we are here for one purpose. Because my reward and your reward is not on this earth. It's in heaven. But you know what? Like most everybody else, I reach for the gusto I can get today. That was a beer commercial years ago. I don't reach for beer. But that's what I'm thinking, is I spend more time thinking about the things on this earth than I do about those that aren't going to be seen up in heaven, where the light will be for eternity, it said in Revelation. Eternity. There'll be no sun, moon, or stars up in heaven, because there'll be light. No darkness at all. I'm wondering, I scratch my head sometimes, does that mean we don't get any sleep? I have no idea. You know what? I bet we don't even need sleep. I bet we won't need that. I don't know. But anyway, just some thoughts. So we as Christians, we want to be that light, so we need to put on that armor of light. Turn to Romans chapter 13. In Romans chapter 13, Paul is writing here again. He talks about in the first part of that chapter about our authorities, the government, and such. But then in the end of that chapter, look at verse 8, Romans chapter 13. He said, "Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and there be any other commandment, if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in that this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And then he says in verse 11, and that, knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. The armor of light. That which shines bright, that which will draw people to the things of God. And really, it's hard because it requires humility, which I have very little of. It's hard to get to that point because sometimes I'm just not willing to submit. And that's what pride does in our lives. It quenches the light. But we want to put on the armor of light. Kind of reminds us of Ephesians chapter 6. We'll not go there. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the darkness of this world, our spiritual wickedness in high places. It's true. And what he's saying is we need to get the sin of out of our lives. Ephesians 4:22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Our verses this month. We're to see it for what it is. You know, a lot of times we walk around like this with blinders on. I'm okay, you're okay. You know, that kind of thing. And it's easy to get deceived because Satan is powerful. There's no doubt about it. He's as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, right? And he can present things to us and we can look at that and we can even justify and say, God bless me with this, when all the time Satan threw it in our face and gave it to us. Because if it's contrary to the Word of God, it can't be of God. At least that's my understanding. If it's something that leads you away from the things of God, it cannot be of God. Because who wants to lead you away from God? Satan. He's the one that is the author, if you will, or the God of this world and darkness. So what do? We realize something's wrong in our lives and we come to the Bible and we do just like it says. You know why we have a hard time with people? And some others than others, I have a hard time sometimes. And the biggest thing is because I'm not willing to humble myself, put myself under the authority of God, and do what He says. Because why? Well, I can find things that I'm righteous in, and maybe even in this situation, I'm right, at least I think, but maybe I'm not. If there's a problem, I need to do what the Bible said and humble myself. And that means coming to God, just like salvation. Confessing my sin. And if I do it His way, it's amazing what He can do. You got somebody at work you got a problem with? Someone's giving you a hard time, maybe? Well, the first thing I would suggest is get in the Word of God, reflect on the situation, and ask God, God, what can I do to change this? What part am I playing that's causing this to be a problem? And if God shows you something, deal with it. If He doesn't, then you heap the coals on them. You share with them, you be kind to them, and you see what God might do. Because His way is right all the time. Now, I don't like that sometimes because it hurts my pride. I got to do that? What are people going to think about me? Well, that's the whole point. They shouldn't be thinking about me at all. Who should they be thinking about? Jesus Christ, who's the light. And that, when we do it His way, we can say, the Lord, I've studied my Bible. God shared this with me, and this is something I need to do because that's what the Bible teaches. That's when the light shines the brightest, is when we're following the Word of God. That's when people will see a difference. If we're living like everybody else and doing what everybody else is, they're not going to see that light because we're going to put it under that bushel. We're going to hide it. But I want to get along, Pastor. I want to do good. I want to be here, and I'm here for the long term. Well, I'm not. I'm here till the Lord calls me out of here. But the long term is serving Him. If He keeps me here 30 more years, I was thinking John is 88. That's 25 years. I don't think I'm making that. 25 years. That's a lifetime to a lot of people. But if God does tarry and He does stay, what do I want to do with that 25 years? Do I want to seek out what the world has to offer? Or do I really want to please my Lord no matter what it cost me? Because it cost me nothing, really. Maybe some creature comforts, maybe some fun or whatever the world determines. But in the scheme of things and the long run of all of it, what matters in heaven is more important than what matters here. So repentance, turning away from darkness to the light. Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid of? I tell you, there have been many times that the fear of man has stopped me cold in my tracks. I don't want to say anything. What would they say? They'll probably talk about my physical stature. That tall, full of hair, handsome man. No. Right, look at me and say, oh, you look like this, you're that, you dumb guy, get out of here. What are you? Who are you telling us this stuff? Sometimes the fear of man stops us from doing that which is important. We're afraid of our feelings being hurt. And when I think about that, and this is me thinking, what does it matter if my feelings hurt? My Savior died for me. Literally, went to the cross. And it wasn't a death that was quick. It was a death of suffering and pain. I can't even imagine just the idea of being pricked. I don't like that. But to have a nail go through my wrist or my hand, either one, and do that three times, I can't imagine. But He did that for me. So we're called to put on the armor of light. Ephesians 4:23 and 24 says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put off on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. It's putting on Christ and making no provision for the flesh, he says in verse 14. He says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And that's what it is. When we see something and we desire to have that, do we go to the Lord first and say, Lord, I saw something and I'm just wondering, did you put that before my eyes? Is that something that you think I need or something that you want me to have? If that be so, Lord, would you make that clear? And He does that in a lot of ways, although I reject those ways. Why? Why do we fall for these things? Because of darkness. If you expose all things to the light, the darkness will diminish. Psalm 112:4 says, unto the upright there riseth light in the darkness. How do we do that? We forgive the offenders, those who have offended us. We forgive those who, we go to those who we'd offended. Regardless of how that works, we're to go. If the Lord lays it on our heart, we're to go do it. We're to be in the Word of God. How and why? Psalm 119:105 says, the Word is a lamp unto my feet. And what is the Word of God? A light unto my path. We don't go to the Word of God, what are we going to do? Well, we won't have the lamp. And where did the light go? It's not there. So what am I going to do? I'm going to make my own choices. I'm going to step where I want to step. I want to do what feels good to me. Why? Because that's all I know without this. What do I know is the world. Most of my life was spent in the world, brought up by the television and the world's philosophy. So where am I going to fall back to if I'm not here? I'm going to fall back to the world's ways. Just as a dog returns to his vomit, so will I. In Psalm 119:130, the entrance of thy words give light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. We need the light. In 1 John 1:7, he says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, talking about Jesus, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we have problems in the church, it's because somebody's not walking in the light. Could be me. If I'm not walking in the light, we got problems. If you're not walking in the light, we got problems. That's the way it works. Now, there's lots of room for growth here, and I'm not trying to say anything about it. I'm just talking specifically about being challenged to walk in the light as God has called you to be the light. Paul said this in Acts 13:47 on his first missionary journey. He was at the church in Antioch. It was in Pisidia. He said, "For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth." He told Paul, or Paul was sharing, "I'm to be the light." Why? For others to see Jesus, who is the light, the true light. And we can do that because God has given us the power to do that. In Acts 1:8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." So God is light. Jesus is light. The gospel is light. You are light if you're born again. And we have the light to share with others, which is right here in your lap this morning, probably. So what are we going to do with the light? You know, it's like a dimmer. You take a dimmer on a switch. Your light can be dimmed, right? Well, the voltage never changes. What changes is the resistance of the circuit. The resistance, the current determines how much resistance. If you have one light bulb, it's 40 watt. What is it? V times I. I don't know. I can't think right now. What is it? About 4 amps or something like that? 0.4 amps going through light. A little less. Or whatever. But anyway, you take that dimmer, and what you do is you just move it, creates more resistance until you get to the point where it opens completely. Then you have no light, right? Sometimes we as Christians, we are resisting the power of God in our lives. And when we do, the light gets dim. And that's why it happens. It's about resisting the power of God. Because you have power. Power on high from the holy God in heaven. And it comes through by knowing Him and walking with Him. Let me share with you one more verse or two verses. We'll be done. I'm sorry. Went a little long. I already mentioned in Revelation it says there's going to be no more darkness. But I didn't mention the verse before it that tells us who the light is in heaven. In Revelation 21:23 it says, "And the city had no need of sun, neither of moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day. For there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it." Wow. No darkness. No struggle. No battle. No fight. It's all going to be light. I can't wait to see the Lord Jesus Christ in the light that He has. I'm sure the first time I see Him, I'll probably fall to the ground just like Paul and probably be blinded because it's so strong. Why would it be that? Because I resist the power of God. I'm predestinated to be conformed to the image of Christ. The closer I go to Him, I see I pale in comparison, but I believe when I see Him, my light would be brighter than it will be if I'm not walking close to Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your love. We thank You for the Word of God. I thank You for the light that You've given to each one of us. Father, I know that many times I reject the light and accept the darkness. Many times in my life I am blinded by the things that I should be revealing through the light of the Word of God. Father, I pray You just help me and help all of us to look to You and realize that we need to be bright lights shining to the glory of God that others may see it and be drawn to it. Father, have Your way in our lives. We'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.